Mark chapter 2. The message today is Jesus, the Son of Man, who has authority on earth to forgive sins. So in Mark chapter 2, I want to read a few passages to you. This is the first passage telling us about our Savior. Mark 2, starting at verse 1. And when he entered again into Capernaum, it was noised that he was in the house. And many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room for them, no, not even about the door. And he spake the word unto them. And they come, bringing unto him a man sick of the palsy. Now that means he's paralyzed. Born, carried by four. And when they could not come near unto him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven. And if you look and put together Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is what he said in full. Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, look at verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak? He blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but one, even God? And straightway, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins are forgiven, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose, and straightway took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. So please notice this remarkable declaration that the Savior tells us about himself that nobody ever knew before. They did not understand it. That you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Well, now let's look at Luke 7. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he entered into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman who was in the city a sinner. And when she knew that he was sitting at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster cruse of ointment, and standing behind at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee that had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Teacher, say on. A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, or shillings, and the other 50. When they had not wherewith to pay, he frankly forgave them both, and the word is the word grace. He graciously forgave them both, freely forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him most? Simon answered and said, he, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most. Now, I'm going to stop and explain something here. Please notice. There is no mention of love until after something has taken place. Look at verse 41. A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed 500, the other 50. When they had not wherewith to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him most? You see, the forgiveness comes first, and then the love. The amount of love comes after, based on forgiveness. 43. Simon answered and said, he, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou wast rightly judged. And turning to the woman, he said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has wetted my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Thou gavest me no kiss, but she since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that even forgiveth sins? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Please notice, thy faith hath saved thee, not love. The love came after the faith. Now, one other thing in John chapter 5, I want us to read this because certain discoveries are made about the Savior as he proceeded to live his life on earth. And that's what we're going to consider today. Jesus, the Son of Man who hath authority on earth to forgive sins. Now, in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father doing. For what things soever he doeth, these the Son also doeth in like manner. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth the dead, and giveth them life, even so the Son also giveth life to whom he will. For neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is a Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. Now, let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that unless what we have read was recorded for us, no one would ever conceive of such things. We are thankful, our God, that unless your Son told men concerning his person, no one would ever have known. Now it said in thy word, none of the rulers of this world knew who Jesus was, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so, our Father, for these portions that we've read, we are thankful for new revelations concerning the Son. Let us know that day by day we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we desire to know all about Jesus, because that is your desire. In the ages to come, you have determined to show forth the excellencies of Christ Jesus, the Lord. We thank you for that anticipation. But this morning, we would learn something of what you recorded for us in your word today. So bless us, prepare our hearts, empower our lips. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you look in the Old Testament concerning prophecies as to why the Messiah would come, they do not tell you one thing, but two things about him. And the thing that we emphasize most is Christ coming to forgive sins. But if you read Isaiah 53, and we heard it read to us this morning, you'll find that in Matthew chapter 8, it says that Jesus coming to heal the children of Israel was a fulfillment of Isaiah 53. So that's the physical part of the prophecy of Isaiah 53. But also, the bearing of our sins in his body, the Lord hath made to light on him the iniquity of us all. That is the mission of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus came not for one thing only, but for two things. He came to be a blessing to Israel outwardly, and to be a blessing to Israel inwardly. Not inwardly alone, not outwardly alone, but outwardly and inwardly. And for that reason, if you read the portions telling us about Jesus coming to the world to save sinners, then you're telling about Jesus working on the inside of man. If you tell about Jesus coming to heal the sick, you're talking about Jesus coming to heal the outside of man. But Jesus did not come to do one, but he came to do two. And men forgot this. You would wonder, and all of this I'm telling you because I've been considering the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, things related to the miracles. You would wonder why men did not come to him for their inward needs as well as for their outward needs. And I read you the answer, because if you ask a Jew who, when Aaron was the high priest and they had the sacrifices, how am I going to get my sins forgiven? They would understand that they had to take a lamb or a proper offering and bring it to the priest, and the priest would take the blood and sprinkle it upon the altar, and sins would be forgiven. And so that's the only way that they understood about having sins forgiven. So when the Lord Jesus came and healed individuals, he made this statement, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." And immediately they recoiled because the Lord Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And they reasoned within themselves, this man is blaspheming, because nobody but God can forgive sins. Do you see? Here were some things about the Lord Jesus that they did not know. One thing that they could not deny was this, that this man had power on earth to heal diseases. They could not deny that. But they never conceived that this man on earth had power, have authority, to forgive sins. And the reason I'm telling you about these portions today is for what is missing from the life of Christ, as well as what is present. As I looked at all those miracles, and I told you that there were 35 specific miracles recorded, I look at them, and I find individuals coming to Christ. I find friends bringing their sick friends to Christ. I find relatives bringing their relatives to Christ. I find constantly crowds coming to the Lord Jesus to be healed physically. And people that were blind came to the Lord Jesus and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon us. And he said, what do you want? They said, that our eyes may be opened. They came to him because they were blind, and they said, we want you to open our eyes. And he did. And the leper came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The leper came, and he knew why he came. He wanted to be healed of his leprosy. And in like manner, the one I read you about this morning was not able to get to the Lord Jesus. But how remarkable. He had four friends that would bring him to Jesus and persist until they got him to Jesus to heal him of his paralysis. So think of this. People looked at Jesus and they knew he could heal. And some that were blind said, we are blind. And Jesus would ask, what do you want me to do? And they said, we are blind. We want our eyes opened. That was clear enough. And here is another man that is full of leprosy. What do you want? I'm full of leprosy. I want to be cleansed. That's plain enough. And this man who is paralyzed, when he was let down in the midst of Jesus, nothing is asked of Jesus. It's evident. If you bring someone to a physician and the man is paralyzed, he knows at least this much about him. He's paralyzed and this has to be treated. But here is something that Jesus knew inwardly and outwardly about the man that others did not know about him, that the man was paralyzed outwardly. Everybody could know that and see it, and that he wanted to be healed physically. But Jesus also knew that the man was filled with sin inwardly and needed to be forgiven. Now, I mention that because as I've looked at all the miracles and the life of Christ, during the time that Jesus was on earth before he was crucified, I have never found one who ever came to Jesus and said, I want you to forgive me my sins. Now, some came to him this way. They came and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Some came and said, how can somebody be born again? You see? They're asking him questions as to what they have to do, what must be done to inherit eternal life. But no one ever came to the Lord Jesus and said to him, you are the great physician, heal me spiritually as you've been healing men physically. You can heal me inside as well as heal me outside. I have never read of one whoever came and asked Jesus to forgive him his sins. Isn't that a sad thing? For this reason, they only knew that the power of God was with him to heal, and they knew they were sick and they wanted to be healed, and so they came and were healed. But this is what Jesus says. He teaches us two things from Mark 2, and considering Matthew 23, this is what he says. He says, "You hypocrites, you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the plate, but the inside is full of corruption and excess." He said, cleanse first the inside of the cup and the plate, and then the outside shall be clean. Isn't that remarkable? You have cups, and you have plates and dishes, and the Lord Jesus looked at them. It's like this. Suppose you came to my house, and I set a cup before you, and that cup had been polished. It was beautiful to look upon. And then as you picked up that cup, you looked on the inside, and it was filled with mold, mildew, dirt. Would you want to drink out of it? You say, why, of course not. Why? The cup is beautiful on the outside. It's been cleansed so beautifully outside. You say, but the inside needs cleansing. Why is it that you can see that so plainly? You say, because if I had to be served at your house and you were just going to cleanse one part of that vessel, I would want you to cleanse the inside. I wouldn't worry about how the outside looked. But what the Savior says is that you have to cleanse the inside and the outside as well. And so what these Jews had done was to cleanse the outside ceremoniously. They did everything outwardly that God required, but they had never attended to the existing need inwardly. And the Lord Jesus said, two things are necessary. There is the cleansing of the inside of the cup, as well as the cleansing of the outside of the cup. He said, you cleanse the outside of the cup. The inside is still full of corruption, full of excess, full of extortion. They never realized that. And so here comes this man that's paralyzed, and he's brought to the presence of the Lord Jesus, and everybody can see that the outside of the cup needs attention. But the Lord Jesus looks, and he sees the inside of the cup as well. And that's what you can't see. That's what I can't see. But the Lord Jesus did. Now, this is the next lesson. The Lord Jesus, knowing the inside and the outside both needing attention, which is the more important of the two to be taken care of? This is what he told us. He said, it is better to enter into life with one hand, because if your hand offends you, cut it off. It's better to enter into life with one hand than to have two hands and go to hell. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to go to hell. And if your foot bothers you, cut it off. It's better to enter into life halt than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. So what does he say is the most important? He says, the inside. He said, something on the outside can cause you to hinder being cleansed on the inside. And therefore, he said, then sacrifice the outside rather than the inside. Now, Christ is not literally telling you to cut off your hand for this reason. If you steal and somebody cuts off your hand, then you'll go and steal with your left hand, because nothing has happened on the inside. And I've read of those in foreign countries where they passed that judgment. If they stole, they cut off their limbs, and they cut off one hand, and the man wasn't cured. They cut off his left hand, and then, as I recall it, after that, he was going around stealing this way, picking up things without his hands. And so it makes no difference. What Christ is saying is whatever there is on the outside that is causing you to sin, in some way, rid yourself of it, because it's better to deny yourself outwardly than to take all the pleasures that you please and at the end of your life be cast into hell. That's what happened to Lazarus, the rich man at whose gate Lazarus sat. He fared sumptuously every day. But after he had enjoyed life to the full without thinking of God, it said he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. What happened? His eyes, his hands, his feet, all of them controlled his life, and he never cut them off. And therefore, he died, and he was cast into hell. Isn't that a sad thing? Now, what Christ is telling this man is that you have an inside and an outside, and I can look at you outwardly and tell what's wrong, and so can all of these people in the room tell what's wrong. He said, however, I'm the only one who can look at you inside and know what's wrong. If a man comes to me and I ask him, have you ever been born again? And he says no. Then I know that that man has sin on the inside. I understand that. But the Lord Jesus, if a man comes to him and he looks so presentable, acceptable on the outside, Jesus looks at him and he says, you are wrong on the inside. Why? Because our Savior has the ability to look upon a man and see what's wrong with him physically, and to look in his heart and see what's wrong with him spiritually. And because of that, since he knows that the most important, and think of this, you are paralyzed. You have to have four friends to bring you to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't even mention your paralysis. But he says, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. And so he says, what you need most is to be forgiven on the inside. And that's what I do. Your sins are forgiven you. He did not forget the outside because he healed him outwardly as well. But here is something that man has forgotten, that Jesus can search the heart, and he knows if you've been forgiven, and he knows if you're still a sinner. This is what is so remarkable about Christ when men came into his presence. When Nathanael came into his presence in John chapter 1, he said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said, Rabbi, whence knowest thou me? And the Lord Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And so the Lord Jesus has the supernatural ability to look into the heart of man and to tell two things about it. This is what you know, and I know, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But this is something that I do not know, that this man who is a sinner wants his sins forgiven. And Jesus knew both. He knew without this man saying one word to him that he was troubled about his sins and he wanted his sins forgiven. And it said Jesus seeing their faith, the faith of the four to bring him, and the faith of the one being allowing them to bring him, and also the faith in that man's heart to have his sins forgiven. And Jesus, without the man ever telling him one thing, understood it all. He knew what he was outwardly and inwardly, and he knew that that man was burdened with his sins and wanted them forgiven, as well as his body healed. And our Savior, knowing all of that, said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. Now, what happens when our Savior said that? He revealed something for the first time that Israel had never known, that the Messiah, the one God had sent, had not only power to heal, but he had authority from God to forgive sins. Everything that Jesus did in his humanity was a commandment from God. When he says this, he said, no one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. He said, this commandment received I of my Father. And so we read in John chapter 5, things that Israel never knew that the Messiah had bestowed upon him from God. The Lord Jesus said, as the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son also to have life in himself. He said, the Father judges no man. He has committed all judgment unto the Son. And he says, if you believe him and me, you have everlasting life. And he said, the Father has empowered me to forgive sins and to raise the dead. All of these things God has granted unto me because I am a son of man. And that's the message. Jesus, the Son of Man, who hath authority on earth to forgive sins. Now think of these charlatans, these pretenders that are in the religious world today. And they say, I have power to forgive you your sins. I've searched the Bible from front to back and have never found anyone, Peter or any apostle, that went up and said, Son, your sins are forgiven. I have read that they had the knowledge, the gospel of the grace of God, to tell men how to be forgiven. And when Cornelius came, it said, Peter will give you words whereby you might be saved. He did not send him to Peter to have his sins forgiven, but for Peter to tell him how he could have his sins forgiven. And that's what Peter did. But there is one who came from heaven, and he did not have to tell you how to be saved, even though he could, but he knew in your heart if you wanted to be saved, and if you had faith to be saved. And therefore, he looked in this man's heart, and he knew that he had sins, and he was burdened and sorrowful with those sins, and he had faith to have his sins forgiven. And therefore, seeing their faith, he said, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And when he said that, Israel said, he's blaspheming. Nobody but God can forgive sins. And the Lord Jesus told them. He said, God, the Father, has given me authority on earth to forgive sins. So think of that. If I had learned this truth about the Savior, then I would not go to him and ask him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I would say, you are the Savior, and I'm calling upon your name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus, I call upon you. Save my soul. But they did not know that. But when Jesus said, I have authority to forgive sins, they knew it then. But what is so sad is this, that even though they did not know it up until now, now they did know it, and still they would not come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness of sins. Why? Because they knew what was involved. There were some who came and talked to Jesus, and he told them the way of salvation. But when he told them the way of salvation, he also told them what was involved if they accepted forgiveness and salvation. He said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Come, follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And it said, the man's countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful. Because if that is what it took to have everlasting life, he said, it cost too much. It was a free gift. By faith, you're saved. But afterward, it costs you everything. If you live in complete obedience to God, and this rich young ruler realized it, and he went away sorrowful. Now notice the two. He went away sorrowful in his sins. But this man who was paralyzed came to the Lord Jesus, And he had faith in his heart to be forgiven. And the Lord Jesus said, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." And so if a man comes in his sins and submits to Jesus, he can be of good cheer. His sins are gone. And if one comes and hears the way of salvation, but rejects Christ and his way of salvation, he goes away sorrowful. And so the world is filled with those that are sorrowful and those that can be of good cheer, because Jesus says to us, "And to all that trust him as Savior, Son, thy sins are forgiven." You trust him and let him speak those words to you. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this one that you sent from heaven. You've told us Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself has said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Indeed, he came to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. But our Father, those things that are done outwardly cannot change the man inwardly. And so, our God, in your goodness, we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and then in your goodness and mercy, whatever things are wrong with us outwardly, heal us, we pray. We thank you for your Son, the Son of Man, who hath authority on earth to forgive sins. We thank you for him. Amen.